Heavenly Father, again, we thank you. The fact is that the heart's desperately wicked. Who can know it? God says, I do. And even though I know how it is, I love you and I want to save it. I want to give you a new heart. So I pray today you'd help us understand how serious it is to need that new heart in Christ Jesus. Dear Lord, I pray you'd give us what is needed in this hour to help us be our best for you as we try our best to do what you laid on our heart. I believe one of the reasons we had the problems this morning and break into the church is because of this message. I believe the reason that Satan sidetracked me for a couple hours is because of this message. And I pray you to give me the power to preach it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 1 to begin with. Isaiah chapter 1, I want to read verse 18. This will give us the premises for where we're going to as we read these verses. It said simply this. God said, come now, through Isaiah, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now notice, God said, come, let us reason together. And somebody said, well, if God let me just reason the way I want to reason, I'd reason. No, you're never going to reason with God the way we want to reason, because he's the authority. But he says, I will reason with you. If you come and sit and you listen and reason me, I'll reason with you. Then notice he said, those you sin be as scarlet. Well, who would think somebody would say they want to reason? Well, I want to reason because I don't believe my sins that way, but God says they are. But say, I don't believe it that way. God said, well, you're wrong and I'm right, so you're going to reason with me, you're going to have to reason the way I want to reason with you. Amen? And so he goes on and he says, and though they be red like crimson, they shall be white as wool. Now, look at human reason for just a moment. The Bible teaches us from spirit to man, we can reason with each other. But human reason could not tell us that Jesus should be born of a virgin. But faith knows that it's so. Faith teaches us that it's so. By faith, we know that it's so. Human reason can never begin to reason out how in that day Jesus could be virgin born. But faith tells us it's so. Human reason cannot prove that Jesus took upon himself a form of a man to die for our sins in this world. But faith knows it's so. Human reason itself cannot prove that on the third day Jesus rose from the dead. But faith knows that it's so. So we know that one of the elements of reason when God talks to us is the element of faith. Faith is an organ of knowledge in the spiritual world. So God, who is a spirit, John 4, talks to us in spiritual language for us to understand in our language, then it's faith is the channel that gives us the substance and assurance of what he said is so. And when God said, come, let us reason together about anything, he's going to reason from his standpoint of truth, and we have to reason from our standpoint to believe that, and faith is element. I mean, sometimes people say, well, I just can't reason that. You know, faith is kind of love between a man and a woman. Love between a man and a woman is not based upon human reason. It's based on the feeling of the heart. And you really can't define that. There's just something about it. You can't think human reason why you want to marry who you're going to marry. If you begin to try to human reason, there'll be a lot of faults you don't care nothing about. But there's something else that goes beyond that to the strings of the heart. And you really can't explain it. You just know it. That's what faith does. There's a lot of things you can't explain from a human reason standpoint, but it makes a sense that you rise above that to another level. And that's what I want us to see just for a moment here. You know, human reason cannot say my sins are gone, but my faith in Jesus Christ knows that they're gone and that I've been forgiven. And if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, your faith in Jesus Christ lets you know that your sins are gone. Why? Because he said they were under the blood. If they're under blood, they're gone. But human reason cannot let me see that in my own thinking in this life because it's beyond that. Again, faith rises above then human reason when God reasons with us and in this life with his precious word. In other words, here, when faith rises above reason, here reason stands back in amaze. Once you get to the point of trying to let God reason with our heart and suddenly you move into the element of that faith that God gives in turn to see these things are true, then human reason, where one before doubts and argues, all of a sudden, human reason began to be amazed at who God is, because he let us see in another dimension, a dimension that where they could not see in this world. Now, from that angle, I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. We're going to ask God to help us reason about something in Matthew chapter 25. If you look down in verse 25, look at verse 41 and 46, would give you an update to this. Here Jesus is telling us, it's coming a time when Christ is going to come back. The Son of Man is going to come back and put his throne on, set on the throne of glory. And in verse 32, he talks about all nations coming together, and he's going to divide them up. He's going to put the sheep on the right and the goat on the left. And he begins to tell what he's looking for. He said, I was hungry, and etc., and he's laid for a few things. Don't have time to go on all of this, which I did. Here we see that there's a judgment day talking about here. We know that this judgment is distinguished between the judgment of the great white throne that's up in the book of Revelation. We know that here there's no resurrection, as you see as Jesus talking about this. Here there's no books open that you know of, as we see here. There are three classes of people that are here. You got sheep and you got goats. And then if you look in verse 40, he talks about his brethren. As these sheep and goat do things to his brethren, speaking about the nation of Israel. And therefore, he said something would happen. Now watch. He said, these are things you did, verse 35, that I was hungry, and you fed me and meat and naked and clothing and so forth. And he goes on, and he said, but when we saw thee sick or prison, verse 39, and he said, the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, in so much as you have done it to least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, who is that? The goats. On the left hand, he says, and as he gives us typology here, depart from me, ye cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And then again they said, they asked, was I hungry and gave to meat and so forth? And he shall answer them, saying, verse 45, saying to you, insomuch you've done again, at least one of these. And he said, verse 46, and these shall go away unto everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. Now, go to Mark with me real fast, like, in Mark chapter 9. You look in verse 43 down to 2 verses, and you find Jesus again is preaching. And he talks about this thing of fire. He said, if the hand offend thee, in verse 43, cut it off. Better enter into the life main than having two hands go into hell, unto the fire that never shall be quenched, and where the worm dieth not, nor the fire is not quenched. And notice he says again, if the foot offend thee, cut it off, same thing. If the eye offend thee, cut it off, same thing. He said, because it's better to enter life with just one of these than both, and then go where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Now in Revelation chapter 20 and over in verse 10, we go again and we see something is mentioned. Here we see evidence of the devil now that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. The devil shut up, but he in the millennium ring in the bottomless pit. Now he is brought out. He's trying to do his work again, and God shall completely destroy him. And he goes for the false prophet, and notice the beast was at, which was put in Book of Revelation 19, in this pit they were put into the lake of fire. Satan was put him in the bottomless pit. You see chapter 19, the latter part of that, verse 20 of Revelation, you'll see that. He says in verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire, burning and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want us to allow God to reason with us. I'm going to preach, but I'm going to reason this morning as the scripture is the basis. I want God to help us to let him reason with us from his scripture some Bible facts about hell. We live in age today that people are trying to do away with it. As a matter of fact, some people don't even believe in hell. I'm amazed the percentage is more that don't believe in hell on the face of the earth today than that does. And then there's some people say they do, but they live like they don't. And if you just say you do and live like you don't, you're just as bad off as those who said they don't believe to start with. Because you're giving out something in this world to a person saying, I don't believe a thing God says about this place. I ain't worried about punishment. And they all of a sudden they've been deceived by seeing our lives. If you do believe there's a hell, you ought to be able to live like you know there's one. Now, why? Because we're not going there. We've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been washed. But it ought to realize that we have safety because of Him, and so that people would see us and hopefully want what we have, especially if you can convince them there is such a place. One person said this, "Preacher, don't you know that the more up-to-date preachers have taken hell out of the Bible? It's not taken out of my Bible. I got a King James Bible. It's not taken out of my Bible. Maybe it's taken out of theirs. If it did, somebody else did it." And I'll tell you this, it don't do away with hell just because they took it out of the Bible. It's still a place today. It doesn't destroy it just because somebody rewrites something and leaves it out, for it's still there. Hell's just as hot today as it was when Jesus preached about it in His day, and it's just as hot today as it was when God created for the devil and his angels. So I know that hell's not a popular subject or doctrine. And I know from time to time, most churches don't ever preach about it. And I hear from time to time, maybe we don't preach about it here. You're just not here. You're here today. But those that don't hear it preach from this pulpit, not here today, I preach it because I do preach on it a few times a year. You have to if you preach the Bible. You have to if you preach the Bible. If you don't preach on hell, then you're not preaching the whole counsel of the Bible. So you got to do that. Now, I'm asking this morning, let God please help us reason with our heart today. We know this place, and thank you, we're not going there. But help us reason with our heart so we can understand why there's a hell, and then be able to help others to reason with them there is such a place as this. You see, I know that hell is not a popular subject of doctrine. But did you know murder and poverty and sickness and death, these things are not popular either. And yet there are facts just the same. Men are sinners. That's a fact of life. God destroys sin. That's a fact of life. And again, God reserves punishment for sin, which will include sinners in the next world if they don't accept the remedy that God has provided in the age of grace. Now, let me give you four things, some facts about hell. Help us, Lord, to reason together with you as we listen to about this thing called hell. The first thing, question that would have for the world would ask it, is there a hell? And by the way, you say, oh yeah, I believe there is. Well, you believe that, the world won't accept it because of that. It won't accept it because I was a pastor for 52 years, a priest. It won't accept that. But if I can get them to listen to this book, then when I'm gone, God will still reveal whether they accept it or not. To make no difference to Him, it does in a way He'd like to see them receive Christ. But if they don't, He's still going to do what He said He's going to do. Is there a hell? Now, we say there is. Perhaps there are those listening, radio and upstream, later, or across this country, the hearers say that, would say that there's not. Now, here's the question in reasoning. We say there is, they say there's not. They're not. That's not. Which one is right? Well, let me ask, where do you get your source? I say that to those who say there's not. Where do you get your source that's not a hell? Because we get our source from the Bible. The Bible is our authority. And you say there's not. Where do you get the authority to say there's not? At least you may not believe the Bible, but you know we believe the Bible. And I say you, I'm talking about those who say there's not a hell. That we believe the Bible, and if we believe the Bible, that's our source, and God said it, it must be so, so we accept it. But where do you get your source if you say there's no hell? Where does your source come from? The Bible is our authority. Some men have written some great books. Some men have written books denying such a place as hell. But nothing can take the place of the Bible. The Bible teaches us in Psalms chapter 9, if you look in Psalms 9 in verse 17, he said, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. In Daniel, we also said, Daniel 12 verse 2, he says, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall wake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. If you look in Matthew chapter 25, you'll find other verses. I'm just going through this quick for the sake of time. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46, we see these words are written. He simply says this, and these shall go away unto everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. If you go to Revelation 20, verse 15, it said, whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Well, preacher, I believe in heaven, but I just don't believe in hell. Well, where do you get your documentation about heaven then? The Bible. Well, that's right. Well, if you get your documentation about heaven, then you get your documentation about hell. For Jesus and the Bible says more about hell than it does heaven. Just read it. So when you reason things out and look at it from God's standpoint and let him use faith to strengthen us to look into that world, we see the difference of that, you see. You read about it in the Bible. Now wait. If a person says, I believe in heaven, I believe from the Bible. And they say, don't believe in hell, because the Bible says that too. The same Bible says more again about hell than it does about heaven. To believe the Bible is to believe in hell as much so as in heaven. As a matter of fact, Revelation, what we just read in 10 and 15 and chapter 22, it talks about what the lake of fire was day and night forever and ever. In 22, it also talks about heaven and the city of Jerusalem lasting forever and ever. Same terminology. So if heaven is forever and ever, hell is forever and ever. Why? God used the same terminology. It's the duty of every Christian to warn people about this place. Hell waits all who rejects Christ. You have the same opportunity in this world that you and I have. They have the same opportunity that we have. Yet Satan makes people feel that we think we're above them or better than they are, and they don't realize, hey, we're just glorified dirt like they are as far as human being is concerned, but we all need Jesus Christ. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I don't care how short we are, how tall we are, how big we are, how little we are, how good we look, how bad we look. I don't care what we do. We all are sinners and need Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. God has declared that. So we're saying, is there a hell? It's what you do with Jesus Christ. Satan makes people feel we think we're better. It's not. We say it's because of what you do with Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad to know that even though someone would say, well, you think you're something. No, we know we're nothing without him. And we want you to understand how much he loved you. That's what we tell the world. Did you know that even human logic demands hell? We call a murderer a murderer. He or she should pay for the consequence. They don't deserve the freedom of living among us if they take someone's life. Anybody who's had into that done in their family know what I'm talking about. Unsaved people are criminals against God because of unbelief. They spurn the love of God. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, says, God is love. The world latches on to that because it's a good phrase. But did you know also in Isaiah 45, 21 and Jeremiah 9, 33, the Bible says God is also just. And if you go to Romans 6, 3, verse 26, he said he's just and the justifier. So even human logic demands a hell. Well, if there is a hell, what kind of place is it? I'm reasoning from the scriptures. I'm asking God, help me reason from the scriptures that at least another human mind will listen when they realize that this is something that God has said and they can read the same verses we say, read. Hell is a place of separation. Death is separation, but it's not extinction. That is, it doesn't just stop everything. Extension. Help me out there. I got it close enough, didn't it? You know, in other words, it don't stop. It live on. Death is a separation. You can imagine this situation. To die physically is to leave this world. To have death from God is to be separated from God for eternity. Death is a place of suffering. Suffering here is nothing compared to suffering in hell. I had a person not too long ago just make the statement, well, preacher, I tell you, I have enough hell on this earth. Hey, neighbor, you don't know what hell is if you think he's got it here. This is the best place in this. Hey, the best place in hell is certainly worse than the worst place here on this face of the earth that we're living in today. Suffering here is nothing compared to hell. Where the fire is not quenched, Jesus said, the furnace of fire, a lake of fire. Luke 16, 24, the rich man said he was tormented in flame in this place. Hell is more than just a picture. It's more than just a situation. I'm talking about God reasoning with our hearts and minds. You know, the real thing is worse than a picture. I'm sitting in the doctor's office. You know, I do that a lot here lately. Sitting in the doctor's office the other day, and I was looking through some pictures of a magazine. And they had all the tsunamis and pictures of that and pictures of the storm and pictures of tornadoes and pictures of earthquakes. And in my thinking at that particular time, you know, I wasn't afraid of anything I saw in that picture. It was just a picture of it. I didn't all of a sudden get up and say, I've got to leave because of what I saw in that picture. I need to go somewhere and take cover. No, the picture can't hurt you. But I tell you this, the real thing can. And a picture is about the real thing. And what God has given us a picture of what's about the real thing of hell, but his is in words rather than just been take like we've been talking about taking a regular picture. When the Bible gives us a picture of hell, surely the real thing is much worse. On earth, death is bad, but men would welcome death in hell because death is a separation and it'll never come. Here, when you're sick, you hope to get better. When business is bad, you hope that it's going to get better. When you get in debt, you hope you're going to be able to pay out or something will happen to relieve of that somehow or another. But when you talk about hell, Jesus gives us record. There's not even a drop of water there to help the rich man in Luke chapter 16. Hell is a place of the lowest association, too. So they say, well, I'll be where all my friends are at. You won't know them. That person who makes that statement don't realize what God said in chapter 28 of Revelation, 21 of Revelation, verse 8. He said, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars. It said, well, this is a manifestation of a way of life of people. When they're that way, that shows who they are. And he said, they shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Someone say, but preacher, I'm not so bad. I don't belong to this crowd. Could I ask one question then? If someone here be that way, and hope not, but someone listening on the radio or upstream looking at us right now, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Because if you don't, you're in that crowd. Don't you judge. I'm not judging. I'm reasoning with you. I'm asking God to help us reason together. The Bible teaches us there's no other name given to men whereby we must be saved. Amen. Our Savior said of his own mouth, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. I'm telling you, there's no way to God without Jesus Christ. And here again, we see hell is a place where people reap the harvest of their sinful influence without Christ. The Bible says in Matthew 8, verse 12, there is weeping and gnashing of teeth there. One person said to a friend, you led me here by encouraging me to drink. When you think about being there, there's going to be someone they no doubt say to a dad, Dad, you led me here cursing God and the church and the preacher and telling me I shouldn't listen to such trash as that. There'll be daughters in hell one day where the mother said, or where the daughter says to a mother, you led me here, no time for God, no time for the church. You made fun of Christ and the life that you live destroyed anything about Christianity. You see, we lift up. And we cast down people in life by influencing them. Hell is not only a place where people reap the harvest of their sinful influence. Hell is a place of memory. If you look in Luke 16 and verse 25, Abraham said to the rich man, son, remember in your day you had things that were good and etc. And Lazarus did not. But now it's reversed. He has that which is the best God has to offer. And you've got fire and brimstone like God said would come. It's not because that Lazarus is better than you. It's the fact that Lazarus believed God and you didn't. That's the difference. And it had to do with his son. He said, you remember everything. Remember, remember. Person ends up in hell will remember every sermon, every song, every prayer, every personal word, every invitation. The question is, there a hell? You better believe there is. Let God reason with us about it from his word then. Because here is where you find it out. If you're going to believe there's a heaven, find out why you believe that, and then if you want to know if there's a hell, find out what God said about it. Because what he said about heaven is true, what he said about hell is true. We're talking about reasoning together with God in his word. Number two, who goes to hell? Some people think you're privileged. The gospel is to the whole world. The gospel literally brings people drawn to Christ. Lost people go to hell. In John chapter 8, verse 24, Jesus said, you shall die in your sins. If you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sin. That's what Jesus said. Amen. And he classified who what you had to do to keep from that happening when it comes to dying. In Ezekiel 18:20, God said, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." In Romans 6:23, says, "The wages of sin is death." But thank God for the conjunction, "but the gift of life is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Ladies and gentlemen, God has never changed these statements. God is against sin, and sin is against God. It must be punished, and it must also engulf the punishment of the sinner if they do not let Jesus Christ pay the sin debt for them. Unbelievers go to hell. John 8:24, again, Jesus said you shall die in your sins. You believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Sometimes people said, "Well, I just don't believe that." Well, you turn to John chapter 3 with me and let me see if God can't reason with your heart. And someone else listened to do the same thing. You turn to John chapter 3 and verse 36. Watch this. Jesus said, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." You tell me that God don't tell us the difference? "He that believeth on the Son hath..." What does that mean? It means that if I receive Christ and believe that Jesus Christ is who he is, and God will save my soul. September 27, 1959, I did that. Watch though. He says also, "And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Somebody said, "Well, preacher, that's what you believe. That's what you really out of the way Christian believe that." I have you to know I have a relationship with God, not according to John 3:36. He says again, God is reasoning with us as human beings. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Ladies and gentlemen, there's no way you can read that any other way. It's as plain as the nose on my face. And you can see that pretty good, can't you? I'm saying to you, this is the choice of the human being. You can't blame God because he throws it right back here in verse 36 as Christ is speaking. Rejectors of Christ go to hell. This sin will doom individuals' lives on here on this earth. We'll do that. Leave Christ out, and one day one number will come up. They will wake up in hell, and it'll be too late. Luke 16:23 said, "In hell, the rich man lifted up his eyes, being in torment of the flames of that place." So is there a hell? Yes, there is. God reasoned it to a heart. Who goes there? He tells us, those who refuse to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Number three, when does hell begin? Some say here on this earth. Those that get there, I wish it had. The conscious suffering of a soul begins at death. But that's not the final degree. In Luke 16:23 and 24, the rich man in hell shows us this. He was there the moment he died. But you see there is a resurrection at the great white throne judgment for degrees of hell. And when that happens, the great white throne judgment comes after what we see here in what Jesus is talking about. This comes before the great white throne judgment, Revelation 20:15, because there is degrees of hell. The rich man was in hell right then. But the lake of fire is degrees of hell. And that's what the Lord is showing us here in his precious word. Degrees of suffering began at the great white throne judgment. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 13, every man was judged according to their works. Why do we have this judgment at this time at the great white throne judgment if judgment of suffering begins at death? You're in that place, but degrees come later. And it's obvious. God said, "Reason with me. Let me reason with you." The sinner is lost due to rejecting Christ. The sinner goes to hell due to rejecting Christ as a Savior. But his degrees of suffering will be determined by the evil works done here in this life in those books that God talks about in Revelation chapter 20. Let me give an example. When a man dies, his works is not necessarily done. Larry Flint, did he ever die? Come on, you know who Larry Flint is. Didn't he die? You don't know who he is? The one that wrote that nasty magazine. Wouldn't it give Jerry Falwell? Well, I'll tell you this, if he don't get saved, then even after he dies, he's still going to reap rewards one day in hell based on that magazine. It's doing damage right on, right on, right on. He made up some kind of porn magazine. I don't know what it's called. But I remember when he and Jerry Falwell had that problem years ago, and he wrote some articles about his mother. And the amazing thing about it, Larry Flint won out in court after all those things he said about Jerry's mother. But what I'm saying that when a man's work is done here as far as physically done, how he's invested his life may carry it on and on and on when it comes even to punishment. Ignorance to God's will does not excuse anyone. Now, one thing is for sure, it might be there'll be some when the person ends up in hell, that moment, due to not knowing some things, didn't do as bad as someone else. But yet, evil deeds not under the blood of Jesus Christ will be punished for each individual deed. That's what the book of Revelation tells us in Revelation chapter 20. A man writes an evil book and dies unsaved. After his death, the book will still be destroying souls. And when everything gets to the end, it's when God will allow this particular judgment to take place. When a person faces the great white throne judgment, all results will begin, and he will be judged according to his finished work that's in those books. And the only thing that removed, go read Revelation 20, only things that will remove those works in that book is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that will remove it. That's the only thing that will take care of it at that particular time. The child of God also invests his life for Christ and leaves things could carry on afterwards. When you live your life for the Lord and you invest in things as far as life is concerned here, and it's continue on for the glory of God, then when you die, it's still, hey, Oliver Green's going to get just as much reward after he died and what he's done in preaching the gospel on radio today that he did before. Amen. He's still going on. How do you invest your life? Oh, when I was reading this and studying this, God touched my heart. And he made me rejoice over the fact when I thought back years ago, 44 years ago this past week, when actually about 44 and a half years ago, when we began to find want God's will so bad, and it was so hard, and the times were like to quit, and the offers was made, and I liked to left and went to other church in Florida and different places, all those things that I liked to did because time was so hard. You never understand this if I try to tell it to you. Even as I say it now, some people get bored by it. It makes no difference. Times were hard, but listen, I'm so glad I did what God called me to do. Because if I die today and this church still continues on for the glory of God and don't go liver and don't go modern, but stay on the basis of the fundamental of God's work here in His Word, I'll be rewarded for what this church does, and so will my wife. Amen. Because God used us to birth this church 44 years ago. Ladies and gentlemen, it pays to invest your life in the Lord's work if you're saved, because everything else is going to be destroyed. I don't know where I'd been in this world. This, I think, but I said I'd been pretty well off. But I'm still well off in Christ. Amen. Because I'm going to have things one day. I don't work for God for the reward. I'll work because I love Him. I'll tell you, if He didn't never give me one thing when I got there, I thank Him so much what He's done since I've been here. Amen. But He's a wonderful God. He's a wonderful Father. And He said, son, child, Christian, if you invest your life for me and let me, through my word, reason with your heart, and you go in the direction I lead you and do what I tell you to do, not only will you be rewarded here, but in heaven one day. You see, church and soul and saved and books and things that are written through an individual's life that carries on after they're gone, one day will be rewarded after they're gone. When a person faces the bema seat and their results are in, that's when the rewards will be handed out. It's the child of God who does not invest his life for Christ that will actually lose out. Because if one doesn't invest his life for Christ and only gains what's here and he leaves, and I've said so many times before, God showed me a long time ago when we try to put things ahead of what he was leading us to do. And he may never lead you like he led us. But I've said a long time ago, if I have a hut in Africa and it burns up, it's nothing but dust. If I have a $50 million mansion somewhere or another on 1,000 acres, When it burns up, it's nothing but dust. I can't take it with me. But I can invest my life here for the glory of God. And I don't care where you're at. If God has blessed you, ladies and gentlemen, you can invest your life also. You heard me talk about Brother Anderson so much, the wealthy millionaire who God saved years ago. And I don't know how many millions he's worth. But he constantly never lets anything hinder what God wants him to do. He's in church every time the doors open. He goes soul winning every week of his life. He has a mission set up his own self. You heard me say many times, he supports like hundreds of missionaries out of his own budget that they have to turn in, that they witness so many times. You can invest your life in the Lord while you're here and enjoy the blessings here and also enjoy the blessings of heaven one day. I'm talking about it's not all in until we get home in the glorified body. It's never in. We die right now, whatever happens, are invested in. We'll continue on until the Lord gets us all home, the other side. Suffering begins at death, and I'm about through. But this is not the full measure of suffering. Men goes to hell for rejecting Christ. He suffers according to his evil works. And at the judgment, all works will be complete. And that's when God says that he will raise them up in that day, even the unsaved. And they go before the throne of God and be judged according to what it says in Revelation, according to their works that's in those books in the plural. And the blood of Christ has not erased them because they spurned the love of God and spurned the blood of Jesus Christ. So is there a hell? Yes, there is. God reasons that. Who goes there? God reasons all those who reject Christ as their Savior. When does hell begin? Well, when a person dies, a rich man was in hell. But the degrees of hell began at the great white throne judgment. And then the last thing is quickly, how do you escape hell? Ladies and gentlemen, sin can never enter there. And what a wonderful thing. The problem we have today is what happened to Adam and Eve when sin entered in. But God said sin will never enter there. I don't know about you, but that blesses my heart. If sin can't enter there, nothing can ever corrupt it. And therefore, it will not. Sin might have been sweet for a moment here while I'm in this life, but people pay for it throughout eternity without the blood of Jesus Christ. How do you escape hell? Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Acts 16:32, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Look to him and be saved. Jesus dealt with sin when he was here. He paid the sin debt. Now, in Christ, there are two destinies. In Christ, our destiny changes from hell to heaven by trusting him. And I'll read John 3:36 again. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. Notice, that life is the everlasting life he's talking. Shall not see that life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. God said, come, let us reason together. Though your sin be as scarlet, it'll be white as wool. Come, let us reason together. Let me reason to you about some Bible facts about hell that I've left with you. And when you do, you get the answer. Is there a hell? Yes, there is. Again, who goes there? All of those who reject Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, again, you shall die in your sins. If ye believe not that I'm he, ye shall die in your sins. And then, when does a person go to hell? Well, outside of Jesus Christ, he goes the moment he dies. But he's also degrees of punishment, Revelation 20 later. How do you escape hell? Simple. We don't have enough money to buy it. We don't have enough righteous to get it. We don't have enough prestige to beat anyone else out. We don't have enough power to make anyone else do anything. Isn't it amazing? The ground is level at the cross. And it's by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. That we might know what it is to be born into the family of God. Through faith. Faith helps reason to see. And we stand back and we say, how amazing this is. How amazing. The world looks at us and says, you bunch of people, you've been duped. You're brainwashed. And we look back. Look how great this is. Look how amazing Jesus Christ is. Look how amazing God has let us look into a world by faith and see heaven and see hell. And rejoice on the way that we're headed to heaven is the destiny. Not boastfully, but as children of God. Heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That's what God does in reason with us. And lifts us through the eyes of faith. What my human reason cannot see, faith helps me know it's so. Father in heaven, I pray again you'd bless what's been said. Lord, I did. I believe the problems this morning was because of this message. Lord, I've wrestled with this for weeks now. Dear Father, I believe that if a person will listen, that God says in Isaiah, come let us reason together about every doctrine, about everything you're doing. Come let us reason. I've left a documentation with you. Let me reason with you through that documentation about what I'm doing, who you are, what's happened, the situation you're in, and what you can do, and see how much I really love you. I'm a God of justice, but my love shows to you as I look at Calvary. And when the world says human reason doesn't make me think a man could die for my sin, I look at Calvary and suddenly human reason gives over through faith. And that which human reason tells me can't happen, faith says it did. Thank you for that. We based our eternity. We based our soul. Everything about us in what you've said. Trusting you until we draw our last breath. And then we'll see the reality of that which we saw by faith. I don't know why this message needs to be preached today. But Lord, I do know it's the right time. I know we need to be reminded. And we could preach about heaven and what a joy. But Lord, if we preach about heaven, you've got to preach about hell. Please use it now as I've done my task. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.